It's quorum. We got three.
Welcome to the Cedar Hills Planning Commission meeting dated April 25th, 2017. Wanted to recognize Brian Miller as a voting commissioner tonight. So I'll call the order, which I just did. So before we get started, I'd like to recognize Courtney. And it's her last meeting that she's transcribing for the city of Cedar Hills. I want to recognize all of her work. How many years has it been?
A long time. 2004 was my first meeting.
2004.
I've been here a long time.
Wow. Well, we're honored that you chose our meeting to have you be your last. So thank you for all your work. Much appreciated. So first item of business is it's a public hearing, right? It's a public comment.
There's both.
Okay, yeah. I don't see anybody here for public comment, so I'll close that portion of the meeting unless somebody in this body had a public comment.
No, sir.
Maybe Courtney's comments are public comment. She can decide. She's the transcriptionist. So I'd like to open the public hearing portion of the meeting in regards to amendments to the City Code Title 10, Chapter 5, relating to land use zoning regulations. Is there anybody here that would like to make public comment in the public hearing? I will then close the public hearing. That doesn't require a motion, right? I just close it, right? Yeah. So scheduled items number 3, review action on amendments to the City Code Title 10, Chapter 5, relating to land use zoning regulations, bed and breakfast facilities.
All right. So based on our meeting last month, we're coming before you with a proposed code where in 10.5.25 bed and breakfast facilities, we are striking out B2, which reads as historic structure. The structure proposed for use as a bed and breakfast facility is listed as a historic structure on the State or National Register of Historic Sites, or the City Council shall have passed a resolution designating the structure as a historic structure of local significance. Rather than leaving that open to the City Council, I know that there is that avenue, but there really are no structures in Cedar Hills at this point that I think would qualify as a historic structure, so rather than handed to an applicant, just remove this portion of the code. Any questions?
I'll entertain a motion.
I will move that we recommend the proposed changes to City Code 10.5.25 related to bed and breakfast facilities.
So 10.5.25 is what you said, right?
10.5.25.
Right. Yes. That's the Isn't there a subsection?
B2.
It's just the changes in 10.25. You can say B2.
Okay. The changes.
I second the motion.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
All right. The next section is simply a discussion item. I wanted to bring, so last year we adopted conditional use codes, and what that did was it created a set of standards whereby the city has these standards to issue conditional uses, and the standards are that we will protect noise, light, regulations. Anyway, in the conditional use code, there's a conditional use table where each conditional use shows who the land use authority is and whether or not there's a public hearing required. So after last month, we've had a number of residents reach out and in giving it some thought, I'm proposing that the change in primary use of residential dwelling, where it is the Planning Commission is the land use authority and requiring a public hearing, I'm proposing that the land use authority be the City Council, with the Planning Commission giving a positive or negative recommendation to the City Council, just to give the public an extra opportunity to speak up. That was some of the feedback we got. So this is all...
So say that one more time. So you're specifically talking about the change...
Change in primary use of a residential dwelling. Just that line item.
And you're advocating what again?
So this is where it says that the land use authority is the planning commission.
Right.
It would read like the one below it where it says PC/city council,
uh-huh.
where it goes to the planning commission and the city council, so that the city council is ultimately the say, but it's based on a recommendation from the planning commission.
Is there a particular case that kind of prompted all this? Or
last month's.
Huh?
Last month's. I felt like some of these things are heavy enough, are big enough issues where I think the city council needs to weigh in.
Referencing the bed and breakfast yeah. and the wedding venue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
So there's the issue of, I think that the city council should weigh in, and I also think it gives other people an extra opportunity to voice any concerns that they may have with a potential conditional use permit.
So, why not just... So we have bed and breakfast facility listed there as well. Why not include that
that's,
in your comments?
That can be less intrusive on the neighborhood than like a wedding venue.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Like if you have family staying over, your neighbors may not even know. Whereas yeah. if you're hosting a business in a commercial entity or commercial enterprise in a residential neighborhood, that can drastically affect the neighborhood.
Have there been residents who have been to a wedding at this venue before?
Just one of the neighbors spoke up, like the next council meeting, saying, "Why wasn't I notified?" And, well, we went through all the notification hoops, but she didn't show up. So just wanted to give people an extra opportunity to voice any concerns that they have. And additionally from that, the city's looking at changing some of the ways we do notifications. Some of you may see the weekly update we send out every Monday. What I'm proposing to do with staff is that anytime there's a public hearing, that is listed on that. That goes out to, I want to say, about 85% of the homes. We don't have 100%, but 85% of the homes, even though that's not a state requirement.
The Monday morning email from Mike yeah. Carson that we get.
Yeah, so it'd show upcoming public hearings for the next week or two.
Mm-hmm.
So just as a way to get the word out, because... I think the thing I really hate hearing is, well, I didn't know about it. You know, and the city posted in 3 locations. We posted on the website. We posted on the Poco Notice website. And we send out mailers. But a lot of people just aren't paying attention. So if we can hit them in one more spot with an advertisement for the public hearing, then I feel like it, you know, it covers our end as well.
Yeah, no, I appreciate what you're saying. I think one of the last things you want to have happen is somebody that's greatly impacted and they say that they didn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
And didn't have their chance to speak. I think it's fair for anybody who has a reasonable interest to be heard and, mm-hmm. and considered or, you know, listened to or not. But regardless, everybody kind of knows that notices, public notices, rarely get seen. I mean, they're the mm-hmm. ones that get put in newspapers or on the bulletin board at the city hall.
Signs on site.
Even signs on
yeah.
site.
You drive by and...
At the roundabout, are we still putting public notices there?
Not necessarily at the roundabout, but there's one on the property affected. So the neighbors
okay.
can see there's a city sign on the property and they can go read it. There's also one at the city building as you drive in. There's one here as you drive in. We've put them down at the roundabout before.
I always saw it, even before sometimes the emails.
So we put them out there in a number of ways, but I think that sometimes people just drive by.
You're still not going to see it and read it unless you're...
Most people are just gonna. You're right. They're gonna turn a blind eye to it.
So that was kind of my question as you were presenting this: is, well, what? Yeah, they get a second chance at city council, but what makes it any different, you know, versus the notice for a commission? So I think the email is a great idea. I think that really reaches out into the people's homes instead of expecting people to go out themselves somewhere to find it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody else has any suggestions, but in doing this, you know, in recommending your proposed changes, I think that we need to, you know, find a way to where there really is a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a second date, but if nobody knows, nobody knows.
Yeah, and that's true. Following the last one, I did have a couple council members So I wish I would have had the chance to weigh in on that. And that's, they're open to come to a public hearing, just like
the other
residents.
They did have a chance.
So they did.
We would not.
Those are the people that raised the notices.
I think that they're speaking more of, not in their capacity as a resident, but in their capacity as a council member. They want a chance to speak up. So, and just one more thought before I go to that is, actually, I just lost it. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because we are elected officials, sometimes we will go more through social media channels to try to inform people. I think that we feel more of an obligation because we are elected, or even just to be reelected, we want to be really open with the residents. So I think that we might be a little more communicative, and that might help too, just the social media side of it.
Yeah. Anyway, it was just a thought, something I was bouncing around since the last meeting, and just wanted to bring it up with you.
So I have a couple of thoughts. I don't have a strong opinion one way or another, to be candid, but so this past year, this body, you know, we redid a lot of the guidelines and the code and such, and our agenda is going to be smaller than normal as time goes by because we've already, quote, kind of pre-approved or pre-granted permission for a lot of debris and a variety of things in the certain zones, right? So we've essentially abdicated is not the right word, but we basically have deferred some of that responsibility away from the Planning Commission to City Council or to the code itself, right? We basically have said, you know, a pizza shop can come in here, we have nothing to do with it now, right? Because it's pre-approved, if you will, it's permitted. So, and then I think there's been a few times where we've talked about administratively having certain things approved and conditional use permits and things of that nature. So my only concern is really twofold. One is, do we increase the workload of the City Council, whose agenda is already, you know, at times seem rather lofty, just because somebody isn't paying attention to the public notices and coming and making comment. The other part is we, this body already approves very few things. So do we want the Planning Commission to be able to have any, you know, unique authority, if you will?
You don't want to make us obsolete?
Yeah, I'm trying to be absolute.
You're inquiring the state code.
You know, I mean, we are we have less work to do now going forward than we historically have had, just because a lot of things are already committed.
We're a city that's near build out. You're not seeing subdivisions like other cities are.
Sure, there's that as well, right? So, I mean, our agendas are going to be pretty, you know,
slim.
I don't know, just something to consider. Do we want to continue to dilute our unique authority? Do we want to not have any unique authority to approve things or not? I'm just laying it out there.
So,
something to consider.
I've got to make a comment. Yeah. First of all, apparently the agenda item that I received on this is like horribly wrong.
What do you mean?
And maybe I'm looking and then I'll read.
Oh, there's a second part to this I want to discuss.
Okay, because what I'm reading is staff is recommending this.
Yeah. That's the second part I'm going to discuss.
This is a different issue.
I've been bouncing around in my head and I wanted to bring up as a discussion.
And that's fine.
So you're right. We haven't talked about that.
Thanks. Okay.
Yeah. The second.
So which ones are you looking at specifically?
I'm only looking at the fourth one: change in primary use of a residential dwelling. Only that one.
Just that one.
To make it PC/City Council.
Yeah,
right.
My opinion is maybe because it is right there in the middle of the neighborhood, something like this where you are changing the use of a residential dwelling, and it has greater impact on those around them than if it was, you know, something else adjacent to a neighborhood, you know, residential zone. I've been to a wedding at that place. Yeah, I would want it, if I was a neighbor, I'd want another option to weigh in on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with maybe changing that to PC/CC. Mm-hmm.
And that's just one instance. Obviously, this isn't a retroactive decision.
Sure.
But I just feel like going forward, this might be something that City Council would want to weigh in on. So.
Okay, and then to the point of notice, mm-hmm. we could put our public hearing notices in the weekly.
No, any it doesn't no, have that, to be. That, no, that would that's already gonna that's already going to happen. Whether it's a public hearing in the Planning Commission or a public hearing in the City Council, they will all be in the
going forward.
Going forward, yeah.
Okay.
How about the official, like city Facebook posts?
The
Can
official.
You do that? Well, the one whoever operates the city account. There's a city Facebook account.
Posting the public hearings on there.
Yeah. I just don't want.
Easy to share.
It is easy to share, but we also don't have a huge following.
No, that's true. The last thing the city wants is what you're thinking about is where, you know, somebody's greatly impacted and they feel like they weren't noticed and they go to the media.
But at the same time, I don't want a room full of pitchforks and torches. So, strike a balance there.
Public clamor.
But where there's a concerned resident, we do want to give them the opportunity to weigh in, and that's where I was coming from on this thought, and that's why it's only a discussion item, and I just wanted to pick a break.
And from your experience and to your knowledge, the email that's sent out weekly is probably the most direct way to access as many people as possible.
Yeah, most people are aware if they get it or they don't get it, or if their spouse gets it. We usually have only one. Email mm-hmm. per household. And so sometimes we've heard, I'm not getting that. And then we look it up and it's their spouse's email.
Yeah.
And their spouse just isn't informing the other about what's going on.
My opinion is, and I've expressed this in the past, I feel like as compared to other cities, our city has never done as good of a job on public noticing as other cities. I know, like in PG, I've received mail.
Yeah.
You know, actually U.S. mail arrived to my because
we've done that before.
Within a certain distance of whatever that, you know, everybody gets something, a letter. I don't think we do that on a regular basis.
We do that on certain occasions.
I've received mails from Sears.
Yeah. We have. We don't do it.
I'm adjacent to the property.
You probably see it in Pleasant Grove more often because there are more zone changes, things right. of that nature in Pleasant Grove than there are in Cedar Hills. And they usually go 300 feet out where you're right next to Pleasant Grove.
To Brian's point, you know, what's different in public noticing if it goes to council? It sounds like, in my mind, we're adding the city council as a step to the process.
Yes.
In order to help solve a communication problem. When in reality,
I don't know.
If we improved our public hearing noticing or enhanced it or whatever it might be, then it may not be necessary.
I think it's twofold, though. I think it's twofold. Internally, whether or not this change is made, we're going to work to improve our public noticing beyond the state's requirements. Because we have a minimum requirement that we have to meet, and we meet that. But also, some of these things I feel like may be better when they're vetted through two bodies. Conditions that may not have thought of in this body may be thought of in another, and vice versa. So there's a number of reasons I've been thinking about.
I could see it for this category. You know, it's like, whoa, I thought I moved next door to a house. Okay. Now it's a fill in the blank.
Cattery.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mink farm.
I don't know. Oh.
That's a shock to a neighbor, you know, when a house turns into something else.
So, yeah. just something to consider. This is, like I said, this is only a discussion item, and it's going to come back. The second item I wanted to discuss is it looks like there's two twos here.
E2? No.
Sorry, it's, E2B. So recently, in the last City Council meeting, we had you're familiar with the Amsworth buildings down there where the Great Clips are and the Dollar Tree. We had an application for one of the shells there next to Great Clips where Marco's Pizza wanted to come in and put in a pizza store. If you look in the conditional use permit, 2010-537, this code, you see shopping center zone in the table, SC1 commercial uses, City Council, and yes, they're the approving body and they require a public hearing. If you go to the large-scale commercial development and see the uses, and there's now there's committed, there's conditional, and there's permitted, there's two categories of restaurants. There's a kind of a dine-in restaurant category, and that one is a permitted use. It doesn't need to have a conditional hearing. They can just get their application and be approved administratively. But the fast food / takeout delivery option requires a conditional use. So you go to the conditional use table here, and it's the city council. What staff is proposing, because I feel like after going through that experience, I feel like we want to be business friendly. We want to encourage development, but in this case, it delayed their building by a month at least, just to be able to get onto a city council agenda and have a public notice. So 2B states that if the application does not include external changes to the site, the designated land use authority shall approve with conditions or deny the application or may defer action if there's insufficient application information provided. So in this case, there were no external changes to the building. They were adding, you know, kitchen equipment inside. Not really anything. There's no real impact there on anyone.
It's not like a drive-through.
It's not like a drive-through. If they were to, you know, put in a drive-through, and you know, that's a big change to the building. But where it's a retail building, and it's a retail use coming in, what I'm proposing is that these be approved without a conditional use, administratively. Now, if they were to come in and make major modifications to the building, then obviously that would come to the.
That would fall under E2C.
Yeah. But where there's no, so we'll have to draft this carefully because it only applies to the commercial zone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't apply to a home. So if there were, and so distinguish that. So it changed, this, I'm only discussing the commercial zone right now. Because in these types of little strip malls, tenants come in and they come out frequently sometimes. And we don't want to get ourselves a reputation of being difficult to work with.
So what was the kicker of the trend? What was the cause for it to go to a public hearing? You talked about takeout versus...
There's two categories. If you go to 10.6A, there's a large-scale commercial development, and they broke out all the various uses for the various uses in the commercial zone. And there's two uses. There's one that's a restaurant, like a dine-in, sit-down restaurant, mm-hmm. and that one is a permitted use. It doesn't need a conditional use. It doesn't need a hearing.
Right.
That can be approved because it's a permitted use. It can be approved administratively. But then there's a second category of fast food / drive-thru, right?
Right.
And because Marco's Pizza is carry-out delivery, there's no dine-in. It fits into that category, not the other. And that
there's,
one requires
no dine-in at all at this pizza place.
Say it again?
There's no dine-in?
No.
It's like a Papa Murphy's or something, but they cook it.
Yeah, they cook
like
it.
The Domino's over
right.
Ireland.
So because it's not a dine-in, they don't fit into that category, and so they're a conditional use. So
right.
Because it's a conditional use, you go back to the conditional use code, and the land use authority is the city council.
So administratively, who is that? Is that you?
Yes.
So it would be you.
Yeah. Right? So where they're not making any changes, and they're not altering the original purpose of the building, where it's a retail building and they're using it for a retail use, we want to be able to approve those.
In the situation that you're talking about, essentially the only difference is that the length of stay for the patron is going to be shorter. And essentially that's the only impact difference, because there's not any changes externally to the building. Mm-hmm. There's not drive-through.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that people aren't sitting down and eating there. They're just walking in and walking out. And so
when you look at the conditions, it's the standards for granting a condition, it always comes back down to, it looks like in section G, you look at traffic, utilities, school impact, soil, water, engineering reports, financing. There's a lot of conditions, but you know, we look in-house at the traffic studies, and that's to determine their impact, but most of those traffic studies where the building already exists, the traffic numbers have already been performed. Those studies have already been performed to a certain degree. So all of those impacts are already measured. There's no additional impact that they're imposing where there's no external changes to the building. And that's where we feel like we can, you know, kind of facilitate some speed developer side on this.
So are you saying specifically in that category, if it's a restaurant that's takeout, it's administratively, or are you saying if there's no changes,
there's
building,
no change,
which could be really any form of pretty much anybody could come in there as long as they didn't change the exterior of the building.
Right, but it's a retail use. Let's say there's still a third shell available. Let's say that a clothing store wanted to come in. And it, in the code, it probably says permitted, but let's say it says conditional. Right now, they'd have to come to the city council and say, we'd like to use this last shell as a clothing store, and then the city council would grant it because it says shall approve. It doesn't say may approve, it says shall approve. Whereas, let's speed this up and say, it's a retail building, this is retail use, let's just approve this in-house.
I think what you're saying makes sense. I mean, like you just said, it's retail building, we want retailers in there. If they're not changing the outside of the building, there's a retailer going into that spot and it's been built for that, then let's just fast track it. I mean,
there's no more information to be gathered from the studies. It's done.
Yeah, so when you're issuing a conditional use permit, there's conditions placed on the permit, such as lighting, such as traffic, such as sound. Those things have already been determined when the building's already there. The lighting infrastructure is already there. The signage that they use follows the city signing ordinance. Traffic, there's already a certain number of parking stalls, and the only numbers we need to know that for transportation impact fees.
But there isn't a sign there.
Say that again.
There isn't a sign there. Let's say Pete's Place wants to come in. There isn't a sign that says Pete's Place. They don't have anything hanging on the outside of the building, so they will be adding a sign.
Yeah, and that sign will be covered by the sign ordinance.
Okay. So we are, all I'm saying is, I'm splitting hairs, but we are allowing for some external changes.
Not really, though, because in the approval of the AmSource building, there was a designated spot for signs that was approved on the building. So signs come and go.
Conditional use, it's permitted. It's already in the conditions. It's already there.
Yeah. So the sign area has already been approved. Now, when they put the sign up, obviously it can't be a million watt bulbs with shining in people's homes. So the sign that they'll put up still has to meet Cedar Hills code.
The reason I brought it up is you're going to have to word it carefully so that we understand. Yes, this was already part of the conditional use. Mm-hmm. No, you're after an external change that's now different from the conditional use.
So, I have a different opinion. No surprise here. This seems total polar opposite of what we just talked about a minute ago about how the public ability to provide input on what's in our city or for the city council to weigh in. I have complete confidence in you, Chandler, right, to make wise decisions. But who knows who your predecessor may be when you get your big promotion someday.
You got it.
But there. So that's part of what I'm thinking. The other part of it is, let's just say, for example, something very controversial wants to come into our city, whatever it might be.
But let's say it's a sexually oriented business.
I'll just keep it imaginary for now. Whatever.
Vape shop.
And it's gonna have. It may cause, I don't know.
But here,
additional traffic or something above and beyond what was envisioned.
Let's play with this scenario here, though.
Yes. Let me
first. Okay, keep going.
All right. So even the pizza place example, I know that traffic studies were done and there's a certain number of parking, allocated for that. I'm going to imagine that they'll probably potentially have, if they're a very popular pizza place, they might end up taking two or three of the stalls just for delivery cars. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think every type of business may have some form of impact that wasn't imagined. And so I think to have that vetted through a public process, I think it's a good thing. Fast tracking, we're talking typically 30 to 45 days difference. I don't see that as a huge detriment to someone coming to Cedar Hills. If the purpose is to fast track it,
their calls to you then.
That's just my viewpoint. It seems like opposite of what we're trying to accomplish in the earlier dialogue about.
Let me counter to that a couple of things.
Sure.
Is that the other argument that we had was a change in use. This is not a change in use. This is, like I said, it's a retail use and it's continuing to be a retail use. Another point would be in 2B, that first sentence, if the application does not include external changes to the site, the designated land use authority shall approve with conditions. Meaning it's not a may approve, it's a shall approve. Like, these will get approved.
With conditions.
With conditions. But what conditions, if there's no external changes to the building, what conditions can you possibly do?
And that's the hypothetical one.
Right. So let's go with Brian's thought of a vape shop. Let's say a vape shop wants to come in. Can you deny them?
Okay, yeah, well, I'm just reading the rest of the sentence that you cut off halfway through.
Well, I was
shall
just wanting
to... Shall approve or deny?
But what is the basis for denial?
Well, I can think of one example. Well, a bake shop.
All I'm saying is you don't have to approve. You shall approve or deny.
But if you're going to deny the application, there has to be evidence on your part that that some of these conditions cannot be mitigated.
For example, a bakery might have really yummy bread smell all day long, and if you're working at Great Clips, have to smell it all day long, it might be torture. I mean,
weight gain.
On your diet?
My personal opinion is I like the idea that it's still vetted by a public body. So
I don't think that it's the 30 to 45 days that really scares people off or impacts businesses.
It makes them mad. I will tell you that.
Yeah, well, I'm saying it's just another barrier for people to say, you know what, it's more trouble than it's worth. And I think that we need to get businesses in here. We have vacancy and we don't have a strong commercial district. And I don't want more excuses why people don't want to come in here. I don't want more, you know, barriers that people that they view. And if they view that as a barrier and it's a retail store coming into a retail space and it's going to be contained within that space, I don't want that to be a barrier.
How fast should the city manager have to approve it? I mean, what if Chandler takes 30 days to approve it? I mean, how much faster is it really going to be?
Yeah, I don't know. You tell me.
In the case of Marco's Pizza, it would have been probably 30 days faster. Because in their case, there's no external changes. They're bringing in commercial grade equipment for their kitchen. That's it. You know.
Yeah, and if I thought that keeping it the way it was would chase away business or detract from business from coming here, I would agree with Brian. But I just don't see. I don't think it's a huge detriment. Most organizations take that long or longer to even.
I actually don't think most organizations weigh in when it's an existing building. I think we're unique in this regard.
When it's an existing building.
When it's a new building, that's a different story. But when it's an existing building and one tenant goes out, another tenant goes in, I just have a hard time thinking that other city councils weigh in. Think about Orem. How many times tenancy changes along State Street on all these buildings? Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine their agenda if each time a tenancy changed, that had to be approved by the city council or the planning
commission? Pleasant Grove, our company bought 2 bays of warehouse and turned it from warehouse into where 4 people are working and doing very light assembly. Mm-hmm. And that was approved. No, the approval body was administrative, and it took 48 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 48 hours.
Yeah.
That sort of changed also the main use of that building, though, a little bit, too, didn't it?
It did change the use of the building.
So. Storage demand.
But only inside the walls.
But if it's a permitted use inside that zone, then...
Right.
And it was a permitted use in the zone.
So let's play that for a second. Let's say that on that third bay, next to the Great Clips, there's 3, you know, sections there, 4 sections, yeah. I think. Someone wanted to come in and change it to office. The office isn't permitted there. Now that's a change in use.
That's a complete change in use.
That's not what that building is designed for. It's not made for that. So that wouldn't be approved administratively.
Yeah.
So let's go back to your original example again. So the pizza place had to go through the process because they don't have dine-in. They have takeout.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So dine-in was you know, approved use. Mm-hmm. Fast food was not.
Yeah, so if they would have had... Let's say they would have purchased 2 or leased 2 spaces rather than just 1 shell, and the second shell was purely dining. I would have approved that in-house. They would not have gone to the city council.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just finding that it just seems like the way the code already is, it seems like 99.9% of applicants would already probably be able to be fast tracked. I mean,
a lot of them are, like Great Clips was fast tracked.
Because I mean,
barbershops, they chose salons was not permitted use,
and they chose to do takeout. So I just don't know if this is even an
issue. Voting or discussing?
Discussion.
Just discussion.
Just discussion.
Yeah.
So, you're going to get twined. Vape shop. Use that as an example.
Yeah.
And is that a conditional?
That was a.
I have to look it up.
It was a good call.
Yeah.
I like it because it is a more controversial.
Yeah, something that's even really.
How about check cashing?
Yeah.
But
what's really restricted?
Okay. Let's pull it up.
Things that we associate with.
Let's see. How many other examples are there in the code like takeout that would cause it to go through this process, or is that kind of the only one? I mean, how many are there?
Permitted use, conditional uses?
Yeah, that are not.
Yeah, look if you have a code, if you can look on the code, look at 10.6.8.3.
Didn't bring my binder.
10.6.8.3?
Yeah.
So I kind of think that it was kind of a disservice combining fast food and carry out because
it says so let me correct myself. It's 5810 restaurants, and these numbers are land use designations by anyway, restaurants, food consumed on premise are both permitted uses. 5813 drive through and fast food restaurants, see conditional use.
So is the only restaurant takeout is not one?
It's just drive-through and fast food, so a takeout was not part of it. But drive-through and fast food, this is not a dine-in restaurant. So,
it's binary though. It's either dine-in or everything else.
So you see the issue that okay, let's say they purchased that second shell and they put out some tables, then all of a sudden it's administrative. Yeah.
Even if they still do takeout as well.
You go to all the
exactly
takeout. That's fine. So yeah, it's
10. So there's three you said, right?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find 10.6.8.3.
10.6 has another number.
10.6.6A-3. Go after like 13 and 14, 15.
I'm holding on my phone. Okay. I see Article A.
There it is.
So there's a table there. There's a land use table with all of the uses. And
that has all those uses, yes, with the codes.
Yeah. So the, I remember this chart.
Yep.
It's all coming back now.
There it is.
So
we went through this chart before.
Too many times. So there's not. I mean, most things would be approved administratively anyway. Drugstores, pharmacies, antiques, secondhand merchandise, books, sporting goods, jewelry, florists, miscellaneous retail. That all would be approved administratively. Some of these things, like drive-through fast food restaurants, is conditional use. No. So, I mean, in this process, we're trying to find ways to be a little bit more business friendly. That's the point.
More to my point earlier, I think that just the way that it was codified, I think that they were probably more thinking about drive-thrus, you know, like a Wendy's or whatever. That has a different type of impact than a walk-in and a walk-out.
Mm-hmm.
But they were mashed together. And so I don't know if
for better or worse.
For better or for worse. But, you know, I think a walk-in, usually it's a pizza place. Sometimes it could be something else.
Like Little Caesars.
Yeah, or Papa Murphy's. Or I mean, I'm only thinking of pizza places now, and now I want pizza. But, yeah, I mean, that's a different impact than a drive-thru.
Dividing those two is what you're saying might be a good idea.
Yeah.
Unbundling them.
I think a walk-in and walk-out pizza place is different than a Wendy's.
Yeah.
With the
I think it's very different.
Yeah.
I think it's very,
but
very different.
But they've mashed them together. And
I don't know if it was the city council that mashed them together so much as his land use designation code.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I don't know.
Somebody
I think that this type of thing, that designation that was, wasn't the primary. I think they were more looking at the drive-throughs and the busy.
Yeah. I have a question, though. Think about this. Okay, you know how we're at Hart's, there's those tables outside. Is this area, you know, like the Little Caesars in Highland, is it going to have any tables outside that belongs to a particular store, or is that just part of the area, and therefore it actually kind of is a dine-in or dine outside?
I don't know where they put tables down.
I just wondered.
I don't think so. I haven't seen any plans that show tables.
Okay.
So
we have a definition of fast food in our code.
I have another question.
I mean, this is drive-through and fast food restaurants.
In reality, it takes about 15 minutes to cook a pizza. That's not very fast.
I'm just curious if we have a definition of what fast food is.
Well, you know, I'm just likening it to the Highland Domino's, okay? Because you can't dine in.
No. Yep.
And there are a couple of tables outside, but I think that Subway owns those.
Yeah.
I
think they might have like bar seating for three or four people off to the side, but that's kind of more for just waiting.
I think it's for waiting. I've never seen anybody eat a piece of pizza there.
Right.
Okay. And unfortunately, I've been there a lot of times. I think you'd have to be really careful because let's say McDonald's said, for some strange reason, we don't want to be here anymore. And Starbucks decides they want that place. They want the drive-thru, they want the place. How does that fall?
Fine.
There'd be a sheer change to the building. If I would complete overhaul of the facade of the building. Which I think they would actually have to come and get approval for. Because
so that would fall under the C then. It would come under significant external changes. Yeah. Not
thinking of all the Starbucks I've seen.
They have their own look.
They have their own look, so they would make exterior changes to the building. And because we're very particular about the way our commercial zone looks, those facades would have to be approved by the Planning Commission and the City Council.
Who's going to make that call?
You guys in City Council.
Hold on. No. Who makes the call whether the exterior changes are significant or not? That has to happen at the admin level, right?
Yeah.
Because obviously a sign is going to change.
If they're changing a wall, they're making an exterior change. It's pretty direct. All right. There's another meeting here in 15 minutes, so we're good. So in the case of the smoke shop, and Brian, I'm going to defer to you on this one. It's not listed. Mm-hmm. And our code says that the use is not specifically designated, or if the sale for a use and district is blank, that use is prohibited in that district. My understanding is we can't.
Isn't that miscellaneous retail?
Well,
that's probably how they would appeal it. Yeah,
that's what I would do.
Do we have which one is miscellaneous retail?
I thought you said you listed that off
at some point.
We used to have that in the code, and I think we.
Well, this is my issue, and I brought it up when we, miscellaneous retail.
That's just open-ended. That's just calling for...
It's a catch-all. Yeah. It's going to be everything. No, my point is, and maybe you can, with your legal expertise, weigh in on this. When you can't outright ban a use from the entire city. That's why cities' codes have very specific, rather than outlawing sexually oriented businesses, they regulate them almost into oblivion.
Right, out by the warehouse that nobody wants to go.
Like ours is regulated to a storm drain in the middle of the Walmart parking lot.
Right.
But that's not true. You can't, because most cities would want to just outright ban them. Mm-hmm. But you cannot ban things. You have to have a space in the city for everything. Mm-hmm. So a smoke shop, going back to the instance of a smoke shop, and we actually had a call for a smoke shop about 2 years ago. Someone was interested in it.
Poor location.
I can't imagine that would be a good location. Go ahead.
We didn't do a demographic study. No, my point is we can't, with that being if it's prohibited, there has to be somewhere in the city that they could set up shop. Mm-hmm. That's my understanding of how land use law works. What do you think?
Yeah. Frankly, you probably know much more than I do.
Okay,
but,
I don't know that's true. But, I think it's something worth looking into.
Yeah.
Because I hesitate saying, I really hate saying they're prohibited in the city. You can't do that here, where I just feel like that's not something that the city has
the jurisdiction. I would say it's neither the code. I would say that the code neither prohibits or permits it. It's in between.
It's miscellaneous retail, right?
Technically, right? It's not prohibited in the code. Nor
well,
is it.
I'll play with this. I'll play with this language and come back with something to present, and we can continue this discussion.
And make sure that only applies to the SC1.
Yes, absolutely. Any other thoughts?
No. Think about where we want to put a smoke shop.
I'll hear a motion to adjourn.
In Highland, across the
room. If you would like to do that.
Highland down.
I move
to adjourn.
I will second that.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. We're all done.